Well, welcome to your announcements. Kim, we've got a few announcements for the people today, don't we?
We sure do, Kim.
First up, we are starting a youth gathering on Sundays, once a month, the first Sunday of the month, during the service. Youth in grades 6 to 12 will have the opportunity to gather with some of our amazing youth leaders to just have a chance to discuss church, life, and faith, and get to know each other. And so if you are a student in grades 6 to 12 and you'd like to be a part of that, pay attention, we'll dismiss you during the service and you'll be able to go and hang out with your peers and amazing youth leaders. So that'll be really great. You're not gonna wanna miss it. Sounds great, Kim. Secondly, it is tax season, and we have a really important announcement for those of you, especially who give through e-transfer. And so if that is you, I just want to let you know that we don't actually by default get any of your contact information, which means we aren't able to send you a tax receipt. And so our team is processing all of the stuff to get tax receipts to you this week, but we need your contact information. So if you give through e-transfer and we don't have that, please send it to us. You can do it online or you can email us at office@sanishbaptist.org. Or if you just have an email address that needs to be updated or an actual address that needs to be updated in our system, please also let us know that. You can talk to a person at the Connect Desk if you're here in person on Sunday, or again, send us an email at office@sanishbaptist.org. Yeah, thanks, Kim. Super important. For all the information that you need, or if you were a little distracted by the two Kims today and you've totally not heard a single word that we've said, please go to our website. You'll find all the information that you need there, or you can email us at office@sanishbaptist.org. I think that's everything, Kim.
You betcha. See you next time.
You would not believe how difficult that actually is to film. You have to like really think about how long it takes to nod and agree with something when you can't actually hear what's being said. Lindsay is baffled, by the way, about how we did that. He's just sitting there totally amazed. I might get a raise because of this. Just kidding. We try to have fun, and sometimes when no one can film announcements with you, you have to film them with yourself, and that's just the way that it is. But we are grateful to be able to be here and to worship our God together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich people. And just as we begin, I want to start off by reading this call to worship from Psalm 96. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 4, and it says this: "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite you to stand as we get started. You guys can go ahead. And we're going to start off by singing Banner, which just says, "Lord, you are greatly to be praised, and your faithfulness surrounds you." So let's sing this together. We can clap, too. Yeah, there we go. On the kick. Greatly to be praised, and your All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing this bridge. I don't know what kinds of weeks you guys have come from. Some of you, I'm sure, have had great weeks, and some of you, I'm sure, have had difficult weeks. But either way, sometimes we gotta kinda tell ourselves what we gotta do. We gotta say, come on, come on, it's time to worship our God together. So let's do that, both to ourselves and to each other, and just say, come on, my soul, don't you get shy, lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. So let's get up and praise the Lord. So let's sing this together. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord, yes. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, because you've got a lion. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, 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 praise the Lord, oh my soul. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, oh, sing that one more time with just our voices. Such a beautiful and timeless classic song. How great thou art. So let's just sing that together. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God. God, we give you all of the glory. You are the only one who is worthy of our praise. So would you accept this offering that we give you of our song, of these words, of these prayers? Yeah, God, you are so great, so worthy of our praise. So would you be honored and would you be glorified today? We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, kids, you can be dismissed, and yeah, the rest of you can be seated. Kids, yeah, Shiloh's back there. She'd love to take you up to your kids' program. And Lindsay, over to you. Too bad there's only one of you. I really wish there was two.
One's enough. I think one's more than enough. You know, as we were singing that song, and as Kim talked in the middle of that, those worship songs, she mentioned that, you know, I don't know what kind of week you've had. And as, you know, because some of our weeks have been, frankly, challenging. Some are, everything's going great. Awesome. We celebrate with you. But, you know, I just want you to know that one of the things that takes place in here, and you may not realize it, but I want to encourage you with this. That as we are singing together, we are singing and we are honoring and we are worshiping our God for sure. And yes, there is a man running around here trying to figure out what is going on. You're doing great, Wendell. We appreciate volunteers like this who are willing to do that because that is no fun. Where was I? Oh, yeah. I know and I believe with all my heart that there are people in this room that are not only worshiping God in those songs, but are actually praying through these words for you. Like, we recognize that not all of us are right in this stage, right in that moment where we are celebrating and declaring, God, you are great. And we recognize that that might be a little bit of faith, and we are here for you. And we want to celebrate. In the Old Testament, remember, they held up his arms to help him pray? We're here to help you worship and know our God. And so that's part of the dynamic going on. And if that's a new concept to you this morning and you're like, I like that idea, please join us in that. Be in prayer. Be in worship, not only for yourself, right? That's important, but for all of us. And drawing that together. Can we do that for each other? I mean, that's partly why we're here together, right? We're here to be a family and to understand that. So that's cool. All right. So yeah, that whole Kim thing, that was weird. I couldn't, Carla was seeing the split screen thing, and I was like staring at it, trying to figure it out. That was cool, actually. Amazing, our tech team, what they can pull off. I just want to bring more confusion to the tax receipt announcement. Okay. So some of you might be wanting to get your tax receipts this year by email. Some of you have already signed up for that. That's fantastic. Some of you are going, that's an option? Yeah, it's an option. If you're interested in receiving a tax receipt by email, after the service, if you can go see Lisa at the Connect desk, and she's just got a little form for you to fill out that just authorizes us to be able to send you that tax receipt through email. If not, the tax receipts will be arriving, we believe, next Sunday for you to be able to pick up. And if you're not here on a Sunday, you can always call the office during the week. Now, about that e-transfer thing, okay? Thank you so much for however you give. But if you have not given in any other form, right, when you give an e-transfer, the name does pop up. But if we don't actually have your address or any way to kind of follow that up, we can't do that. So if you're not sure if we've got your information and you've blessed us with a gift through that form of giving, again, I would suggest go talk to Lisa. And she'll just get you a little, just have you fill that form out. And then I think we'll be good to go. Loretta, how did I do? Is that okay? Whew. Okay, good. All right. You know what? I saw this morning, and I said this to you last week. Siva Samanthanan, this coming Saturday, we're having a service for him, and you're like, why did I hold a Werther's up? You guys know, some of you know. Like, he just used to come up to you, and he'd shake your hand, and you go, what is that? And all of a sudden, there'd be a Werther in your hand. We miss him. We miss him. Continue to pray for the family, and we're having a service here on Saturday at 2 o'clock, where we will celebrate, grieve a little bit, celebrate some more of his life. So, yeah, that's this coming Saturday. We are in week 3 of the sermon series we're entitling We the Church. We the Church. This morning, if you've got a Bible with you or a smartphone possibly with scriptures on it, I encourage you to go to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to be looking specifically at verses 7 through 11. Peter is written by Peter, right? We know Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' followers, one of his disciples who had all kinds of interesting interactions with Jesus, right? Like Peter was one of the first in line, then all of a sudden he'd kind of crumble and fall, right? Like he just struggled with really hanging in there with his initial commitments and all, and denied Jesus and all those things. And Peter is just an amazing story of the grace of God. How God can use people that have a past. And so it's always interesting to listen and recognize that that's who wrote this. And to have that background, that context, if you like, that little bit of understanding of what he is saying in the midst of this. So it says in verse 7, the end of all things is near. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read the whole thing because it's all there. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If any speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, good words. The end of all things is near. That's something that always caught me up when I was a teenager and I was starting to get interested in God and the Bible and all, and I'd be reading these things and I think the end of all things is near. Ah, no, wait till after I'm married. That was one of the things I would think. 37 years later, the end of all things is still near. So it's interesting to me, right? Like there's always been this sense, like God could come at any moment. And we don't know. The end of all things is near. And he carries on and he says, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Now, do you remember a year ago? Pastor Steve was going through shingles, and we were in the middle of that sermon series, and we were trying to seek God and say, God, we would love for you to do an amazing work. We'd love to see you bring revival to this area, to this church. And we were praying, and we were seeking that. You know, what's interesting is it may not be here, but there's something unique that's taking place. You've likely heard of it. You've likely seen it on social media. But there's a revival that's broken out in a little town, little place, little college called Asbury. Now, what's interesting about this is that this is not the first time this has happened. It literally happened about 50 years ago there. It also happened in the early 1900s. And I just want, some of you are wondering, what should we think about that? Way to go, God. Do it again, God. Let's be alert and be of sober mind And let us pray and let's seek our God. So we're going to do that right now. I'm just going to give you some space, some quietness, just to talk to our God. And then I'll lead us in a prayer and we'll carry on. Our God, how great thou art. You are worthy of all praise, honor, and glory forevermore. Amen. I mean, these are the words of Peter, Lord, that have been preserved for us over 2,000 years. We echo them. We hear this word from Peter to be aware that this world that we live in, although it's amazing and it's beautiful and we live in such a beautiful part of this world, God, here in Victoria, this is not our hope. That there's more there. This is an amazing world, but there's a kingdom to come that we're anticipating. And we don't fully understand, God, when this is going to take place. And even Peter wrote that the end of things is near. And so, God, we want to be a church that has this posture of being ready, being alert, of sober mind, that we could pray, that we would be a church that is seeking you to work, to move, to meet us in our gatherings, to meet us in our smaller gatherings, to meet us in our quiet times, to meet us in our places of work, our neighborhoods, our places of recreation, wherever it is we find. We want to be a place, a church, a group of people that keep in step with your Spirit, that seek more of you, God, more of a filling from you. God, what's going on in Asbury right now, I celebrate what you're doing there. What is taking place, the reverential worship, the people turning, repenting, surrendering their lives to you. God, thank you for what is taking place there. We would ask, God, that you would come and that you would move in a mighty way here. Spirit of God, you are welcome here. Spirit of God, you're welcome in our lives. We submit and surrender to you, that you might move, that you might work, that you might guide, you might convict, you might encourage, you might give us ears to hear and eyes to see what it is you want to do in this church. For your glory, God, and the good of others. Amen. Well, we continue on. Paul says, the end of things are near, therefore be alert, be of sober mind, pray. And then he says, above all, this is another one of those above all sections. He says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multiple of sins. And this is not the first time. That's really good English. This is not the first time we've seen that in Scripture, where things are listed off and there's some really good stuff there. And all of a sudden it's like love sort of gets popped up to the top. Don't forget love. God's love. Don't forget this. Be aware of it. And above all, love each other deeply. Remember, we referenced this last week. Somehow we are to love one another deeply to the point where it covers over a multitude of sins. How does that work? What does that mean? I mean, Peter knew this. Peter knew a love that covered over a multitude of sins. I referenced off the top that Peter was one of these guys who was like, you know, when you needed volunteers, he'd just right away go say it, I'm in, Jesus, I'm your man, let me take the front, you know, front watch, I'll do it, you know, come on. And then all of a sudden he'd crumble. He'd get out of the boat and he'd sink. I'm not going to deny you, Jesus. And then he would deny Jesus. And yet what Jesus regularly and consistently did with him was to cover over his sin with his love and restore him and to raise him up. He experienced this love of God that covers over a multitude of sins. And you see, we are being called in to be a part of that. It's not that our love forgives sins, okay? Let's make sure we understand that. Ultimate forgiveness from God. But we are in relationship with one another, and that's clearly what is being drawn out here, is that we are to love each other so deeply, so intimately, that we know each other, that we know when we trip and we stumble, and we can be there to help restore, not cancel. That's a pretty big way to live right now, is that we just want to cancel people. That's not the way of God. The way of God is to love each other deeply, to come with a love that is not our own, that defies possibly what has taken place, but to help restore. In order to do that, we need to be vulnerable with one another. We need to feel like it's a safe place where we can confess our struggle, where we can confess our doubt, where maybe we can confess our wayward patterns of living or behavior, our sin. Community. Being known and knowing. Being seen and seeing, loving and being loved. Peter's calling us to that again. This body experience goes on in verse 9. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Peter's just on a roll here. He's just going to sort of start bouncing off a few things here. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hospitality is a great way to find and grow community in and around possibly a meal. It's not always a meal. Hospitality doesn't have to be a meal. Hospitality, the idea of hospitality is a space where you are together and you're getting to know one another and you're caring for one another. This was a significant part of the early church. We talked about the love feast for sure. They were doing these meals, these celebrations where they would gather together and have a meal and then take communion together in their homes. It's a beautiful thing. But what catches my attention is this, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Doesn't that seem a little weird? Without grumbling. What's going on there? Like the food sucked? Is that what we're talking about? I'm just not 100% sure. And it's not, because they're the one offering, although maybe you're calling out your spouse who made the food, but that's a whole nother thing. Wow, we're talking about love covering over a multitude of sins. Let's go there. Woo! Okay. What's he talking about? Without grumbling. See, I think what Peter is hitting on is something that Jesus turned on its head as well. Let me ask you this. If you have someone over, have you noticed if they ever have you back? Does it bother you if they didn't? That could be a form of grumbling. And you see, what's happening here is that it really wasn't a gift of grace that you offered the people who you invited in. You were expecting them to return the favor. I mean, that's how we do it. We have them over, then they'll have us over. That would be awesome. But that's not what Jesus was all about. Remember the parable? He was putting on this big banquet, right? And the people didn't come. They were invited and they didn't show up. And Jesus goes, who cares? Go out to the outcasts, to the people who no one seems to want to care about, those people that don't have prestige and status, those people who have maybe no way of being able to repay you for this meal, this hospitality they're giving to. Just be hospitable. That's the point. It's not an agenda thing. Be hospitable. Create a place where community can start to happen, where people can be known and you can know them, where they can be seen and you can see them, where you can care and you can be cared for. Create this space. Now listen, I understand it's not easy because we've got good rememberers for some things. And we just sort of naturally kind of do that. But Jesus is saying that's not why we offer these things. It might be beautiful if they did. That's great. That's fine. That's wonderful. Don't turn it down. Oh, no, I'm not supposed to come over to your place because I had you over and pastor said I'm not supposed to go back. That's not what I'm saying. It's okay. But could it be that there's some people that God's calling you to be hospitable to that could never repay you? I don't know. Could that be more what we're talking about here? Is that what Peter's going after? He goes on, verse 10, he says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Now listen, there's these things in the New Testament that where it talks about the Spirit giving gifts to the children of God. These are unique things. These are unique Spirit-given things, and they're given not for our sake, but again, for other people's sakes. There's lists of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and there's all of these different things that are kind of listed. And he goes on in verse 11 and he kind of indicates a couple of them here. Listen, if anyone speak, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. You see, these are things that are supernaturally given and gifted and to be used for the betterment of the community. Both the community in the church and the community at large. So that God is praised and glorified, and that it would be for the good of others. Now, in and around spiritual gifts, this is always an interesting thing. There are some different lists in here, and some people debate, you know, are those lists exhaustive, those things that are listed off there? Like, if you go and Google later this afternoon, if you remember anything that we've talked about this morning and you want to do that, you could Google spiritual gifts, and you'll get all kinds of different lists. And it's interesting. It's very, very interesting. I would like to suggest that the lists aren't necessarily exhaustive. The point is, God wants to spiritually gift you in order to do some things that you cannot do in and of your own strength. God wants to use you with your unique personality. You have a personality that is fearfully and wonderfully made. You are image bearers of God. You've got a uniqueness about your personality. You have a uniqueness within your own personal experience and past that uniquely positions you to serve some better than others could serve them because of your personality, because of your past, because of the gifting that God has given you. It could be your area code, just literally where you live. You are uniquely positioned by God. Your career. Like, God has uniquely given and is calling each of us to figure out, how does God want me to serve? What does God want me to do? How does he want to empower me to live a life that serves others? That follows the way of Jesus? That doesn't live a life with expectation that there will be reciprocity, that people will respond? I didn't think I'd be able to get that word out. I actually did it. To live a life like Christ. There's an intentionality, it seems, in what Peter's talking about here. Now, some of you are going, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are, and I don't know what it is either. Some of you love tests and those things online where you fill in boxes and check marks and all those things and little write-ups and everything that'll help you. We're going to put a slide up right now that's got. So if you are interested in possibly discovering, now these things are fallible, okay, but these things can help us. This is www.freeshapetest.com. If you're interested, it takes about half an hour. Maybe lean into this sometime this week. Now you see, the challenge with these things, they're experience-based. That's the only way they can be. So they talk about past, this, that, and the others, but they also talk about passions and desires and things that matter to you. And you know what? God gives us those things. So this can be really helpful for some of you. For some of you, you're going, not a hope. Not going there. Hate those personality tests. This isn't a personality test. Don't like those kinds of things. Enneagram, right? Okay, fair enough. Here's the deal. I think these things always should be sort of checked out in community, in relationship. So talk to your friends. Talk to your group. Who's your we of the church? Talk to them. Hey, what do you think? What do you think God's maybe wired me up to be about, gifted me? Do you see something in me? And this isn't to be arrogant, right? Because we've already decided that these gifts and these things are actually to be used for other people. So we're actually asking, how can I serve other people by asking this question? This isn't being proud or prideful. So this can be helpful, but always in relational context. I encourage you to do that, just to consider, how is it? What does it maybe look like? How has God maybe gifted me? And you see, these gifts that we find, we discover, can be used in so many different contexts, for sure. They can be used publicly, absolutely. There's gifts, there's public gifts. There's gifts that can be used in our work environment, in our community, in our neighborhood. But as I've said, one thing is for sure, that these gifts are not about us, they're about others. Bring glory to God and for the good of others. And as I mentioned, I believe they need to be discerned and worked out in the context of a relationship, to be encouraged by others, maybe teased out a little bit, maybe affirmed, maybe I'm not so sure that's actually your gift. There's a fun conversation. Make sure you bought coffee that day. Now, a lot of times when we hear this, this idea of gifts and all that kind of stuff, we're sitting in a room like this, and so we think, typically, the gifts are for in the building, and they're for in the public space, and they are. They definitely can be, and they are definitely needed. We need the Wendells. I just called you out twice. It's crazy. Who are willing to serve. We need people who are willing to serve on stage. We need people who are willing to serve in the booth. We need people who are willing to help out Shiloh and the families, and to care and to teach and to mentor the young children. Absolutely, without doubt. Do we need more? Yes. Yes, we do. Always do. We need them. We need you. Because we come together as a body. Some of the teaching that Paul does is he talks about how we are a body, right? And no one part really should be more important than the other. We've all got a role to play. I mean, right? Have you ever lost your eyebrows? Some of you have. I'm seeing shakes like this. My understanding is you get stuff in your eye all the time, and it's a real pain. We need some eyebrows in our church, right? We need people who can speak. We need people who have hands, who have feet, right? Like, we need the fully functioning body. Some of you have hurt yourselves, right? And you know what it's like not to have use of something, and all of a sudden you go, wow, I didn't think that fingernail is all that important, but it actually really does help. That's the expression, the uniqueness, the diversity that is needed within a church. Now, yeah, it's a part of the public thing. It happens on the weekends, but it happens in community as well. When we talk about this idea of microchurch or these home church expressions of the church, where we've got the gathered experience here on Sundays, but then we have midweek gatherings as well. The gifts, man, they can show up there in such powerful ways, because some of you are like, not a hope am I getting on the stage, not a hope am I getting, you know, on my knees with some kids somewhere. I don't do tech. I can't do any of that kind of stuff. But all of a sudden, in a smaller gathering, these gifts can come alive. And we can join together and see the power of this diversity and the uniqueness of how that can be lived out. And we need you. We always will, but we definitely need you as a body, as a church. No one is unnecessary. Right now, we definitely could use some people who are interested in creating these spaces, these host homes possibly for a microchurch. We need people who are willing to be leaders, to kind of draw some people together. I was talking to someone this week and they said, I love the idea of the microchurch, but I was just so freaked out about this idea of being the leader. Like, does that make me like a pastor? I get that sense of pressure. It's not what we're talking about. If that's you and you've kind of been wondering about that, I'd love to talk to you. Because we have more people who are interested than we have places right now. So I don't know what God's saying to you. I'm not sure. But we need you. And you know what? You need us. We really do. We need each other. So many ways to serve. I kind of went over all of that. But whatever it is, whatever this gifting is, whatever this uniqueness of who you are, your experience, the passion that God has placed on your heart, it's different for everybody. Don't dismiss that. Discover what it is. And learn how and in what ways you could serve and bless and help others with it. We, the church, we're better together. We're stronger when we're all serving. We really do need you. And you really do need us. Remember last week we were looking at that? They will know we are Christians by our love. Somehow the world outside will see something significant taking place in these relationships. This is what Peter's talking about. And it's great. It's great to have you here in Rose. But I just believe with all my heart, we need to get in circles too. So I'd love to talk to you about that if you're interested. Reach out to me at the office because I got to pray and say amen and then bust it over to the other church. But just before I do that, I just want to give you some space to think. To ask God to speak to you in this moment. So I'm just, as has been our practice of late, I'm just going to give some space and just gently lead you with a few thought-provoking questions or statements. If they're of no use, just ignore them. Just listen to what God is wanting to say. And so, Spirit of God, Father God, Savior Jesus, would you show us now in these few minutes? Would you affirm some things in our hearts and our minds? For your glory. and the good of others. My first question for us this morning is, who are the people that you are being led to love deeply? Maybe this is the who is the we of the church for you. Could you offer hospitality to this week? Willing to ask this question, God, who, maybe where, are you calling me to serve? Are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are image bearers of our God. And He has uniquely gifted you. You have a unique experience. You have unique relationships, places in which you have been and you are now. Please see that. In what ways has God gifted you uniquely to serve? For the glory of God and the good of others. Amen.
Well, I want to invite you to stand, and before we close in song, I just want us to read together this prayer. We are all the church. We're all part of the church. And so let's read it all together. And it's just a prayer of adoration and praise based on that 1 Corinthians 12 passage. But it says this. So let's read it together. Spirit of the living God, we praise and adore you for empowering us to claim membership of the body of Christ, a gift received through the fullness of your grace. Empower us anew, we pray, with tongues of fire and hearts of love to proclaim the reconciling word among people. Remind us that we are all members of the one body, and if one member suffers, we all suffer. May we, as the body of Christ in this place, be the best evidence of your love by declaring and witnessing to this as the year of the Lord's favor for all people. We give thanks that all of us are Christ's body and rejoice in each one being a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing a couple songs. This first one is called Fresh Wind, and we sung it a bunch a while back, but it's been a while, so it might take you a second to maybe get back into it, or maybe you're not going to recognize it at all. But either way, pray through these words. One of the verses just says this: "So we, the church, who bear your light, lamp aflame, city bright, King and kingdom come, is what we pray." And then the choruses just say, "We need a fresh wind, a fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out." And lots of times we think, oh, maybe I just need to take my part of the church seriously, or I need to be better at being my part of the church. And it's not really about that. It's about the Holy Spirit empowering us as we all come together with very different gifts, very different personalities, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit that somehow makes that all work together and be a beautiful light to the world, a beautiful light for the glory of God. And so let's sing or pray through this song and just ask the Spirit to fill us, to pour out on us. Spirit, sound and rushing wind, fire of God, fall within. Holy Ghost, breathe on us, we pray. As we repent and turn from sin, revival ember smoldering. Breath of God, fan us into flame. 'Cause we need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. For hearts that burn with holy fear, purified in faith and deed, refiner's fire, strengthen what remains. So we, the church, who bear your light, lamp aflame, city bright, King and kingdom come, is what we pray. 'Cause we need a fresh wind, the fragrance of holy anointing, a holy anointing.
Let's just sing that verse one more time. So we the church. So we the church who bear your light, lamp aflame, city bright, King and kingdom come is what we pray.
God, We do need you, Holy Spirit. We can only be the best version of the church that we can be by the power of your Holy Spirit at work within each of us. So God, we need you. We ask you to empower us, to pour your Spirit out, to open our eyes to the opportunities that you place in front of us, to encourage our hearts and give us boldness to take advantage of those opportunities. God, that you would give us a clear picture of where we fit in your church and how we can do our best to love others and to give glory to you. So we just pray this in your name. Amen. Just a couple of announcements before you guys head out. If you are new, we would love to connect with you. There's some cards in the chair in front of you, or if you're looking online, you can go to our website and connect on there, but we'd love to get to know you. So feel free to fill out one of those, and as always, we'll have people available up at the front for prayer if you would like to be prayed for or to pray with someone. We'd love to do that. Just as we leave from here, I want to leave us with this benediction that says, may the love of Christ be active in your hearts, be heard in your words, and be seen in your actions, and inform your choices today and all days. Amen. Go in peace. We'll see you next time.